WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives. One moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
You're listening to Fresh Air. This is WUHY FM in Philadelphia. And my guest in the studio now is John Aiello, who's the executive director for the Italian American Bicentennial. We're going to be speaking about the Italian American Bicentennial in a few minutes. But first, John, I'd like to ask you about some of the views that you hold. There's an article here that is reprinted that I'd just like to read a couple of paragraphs back to you and have you explain what is meant by this. According to Aiello, the realities of global Italian geographical placement, the combination of resources and influences, become the tools with which to utilize our Italian advantage. He sees the future in terms of a compatible linking of a new temporal organization with our spiritual situation for the first time in global Italian history. The end result is an indispensable Italian leadership role benefiting all the world cultures who have joined with Italians in the past and will again. First of all, can you explain to me the idea of Italian global leadership?
Well, the point of that article is to point out the fact of the geographic placement in America. The Italians in America, numbering around 22 million, are positioned in places in key industrial states. Now, whether the Italians take advantage of their political, economic-based power in America is a question in the future. The placement of Italians in Canada, in South America, which there are at least 22 million, a commensurate amount of Italians in South America, and of course the standard one of Italy with their own sphere of influence thing in the Mediterranean. Now, whether a people at a given time begin to see when the time is right, their resources, both in terms of sheer people power by numbers, a monetary power, their economic influence in key areas, and place that with the resources of their problem-solving mechanism, which would be the young, and the older people with the professional ranking and that kind of experience, whether they start to pull those human resources and political, economic resources together to make a statement in a period of time in which we see when we study history that at points in time, the world actually looks towards those groups that have a particular ability to respond to a problem at a given historic period. And this would be the potential of Italians, the leadership potential.
I may be misinterpreting what you're saying, but I see it two different ways. Sometimes when you were speaking, I thought that you meant that Italian Americans should really, especially if they're in positions of power, use their power and their education and influence to help the Italian American community. But other times when I was listening to you, I thought, no, maybe you're really looking for a world that is more highly dominated by Italians, and I really don't know what you mean.
No, it's I don't think any individual that represents a group in the beginning, if you were head of a family in a block, in a community, you would naturally be looking towards the welfare of your own family in the house, but knowing that your house is not alone, you'd also be attending meetings and trying to keep the community in some kind of rational balance. So you can, as you're part of the community, the whole community is healthy. I think blacks, Lithuanians, Jews, Italians, Chinese, all the ethnic groups in this country have to look not only to their own welfare, but the fact that they're not separate in that sense. They're separate. What I like to say is they're separate but connected. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we connect too much and lose the separation, and sometimes the other extreme, of course, is being too separate, in which we lose that kind of a brotherhood of a connection with people. So the thing is here that all groups like yourself, in the sense of an individual, have to know who you are, that therefore you function better in the world, that asks you to know who you are every given day and what you want. And then also is responsibility in that participation to do things and have priorities that are for the general welfare.
What problems or situations do you think are unique to the Italian American community at this time?
Well, the situation that's unique with the Italians at this time is the fact that it's an emerging group that has, if you look at the history, the major influx has been a little in 1880, but really in 1920. So the Italians in this country have been here, let's say, 50 years. Now, my father was born in Italy. My mother, half the family in Italy, half here. So it's been, and then they moved into heavily ethnic areas. So you can almost say it was an ersatz Italy, little Italy's, things like that. And as they emerge of just learning how to speak a language in a northern country, for the first time minority group, you know, you leave one country, you're Italian in Italy, and then you come to America and you're just an Italian like a lot of other groups in a big new country with a strange language and a whole new history. So it takes an amount of years for the people to get jobs, be accepted, prove their value, which I think, by the way, there's a human kind of prejudice in the sense that I don't think anybody lived next door to you. Immediately, the first day they were on the block, you're going to tell them what you have in the bank account and start sharing deep secrets. You know, after you cultivate them and understand that they can be trusted and you feel more relaxed with them, you start to share information with them, then you bring them more into your purview, your cosmos that you have. So I think Italians here 50 years have proven that, you know, they work hard. They certainly have the abilities, both in their labor and in their intelligence, to be extremely respectable in the sense of the making of America. And studying the history of Italians in America, it would point out that they've been very influential in a lot of key areas, which are not known too much. But this will emerge. To answer your question, the whole point that this is a new kind of energy, which will bring all this out, you know, how they can participate even more.
Mm-hmm. How have you resolved for yourself the idea of assimilation into America, of keeping ties to Italy, which is your original country? And well, no, you were born in America?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Well, but still, you feel
South
ties.
South Philly.
South Philly, right. You feel ties to Italy. How have you resolved
that? Well, this is a problem. This is a big problem of duality and ambiguity for a lot of people. Remember, we come out of a situation in America where America had to tell everybody to kind of calm down in an area and realize there was an America and don't be so tangentary with your energies. Then when the country's more secure, I think you can, it's working for somebody that's insecure, they want you to be more like them so they have control. Sometimes a boss that is a little bit more open with his own ability to understand himself will allow you more flexibility to expose your own individuality. And I think now America's at the point where it actually has to allow this to occur, this individuality. The duality of if I read my 40th book on Italian culture, I in no way, by the Declaration of Independence, abrogate my citizenship. The Catholic Church has an interesting thing called dual allegiance, that you can be a Catholic as you can be a Jew or a Protestant in any country, that as long as you follow the rules and go along with what the essence of a nation is, and especially in America, that would say that you actually did come here to obey laws, but to be who you were. A lot of the interpretation, which really is an interpolation of the Declaration of Independence, that we came here to be the same Americans. The real point is that we came here to be free enough to be different, with nobody trying to mold us the way they've molded us in Europe over the years and stop maybe some individual potential from coming out of that you know, kind of need to want to problem solve in your own way. So the church says you can be a Catholic or a Jew or a Protestant, and I think you can be an Italian, a Jew, a Lithuanian, an Irishman in America and explore your culture with all the freedom of that and still be American. And in fact, I think it's the only way to be American if you so choose to do that. Here's a question of choice. Are we allowed to do that? There are many people that don't want to do it, and I think it's fine if that's their choice, but I don't think their decision to not pursue it necessarily has to put a handcuff on me or anybody else that believes in keeping contact with your culture.
I know you've organized meetings with Greek, Armenian, and Jewish groups. Is this the kind of thing you talk about at those meetings?
I've always had close contact. When you come from South Philadelphia, you automatically, the contiguousness of the neighborhoods made it almost imperative that you almost were thrown into it. I lived in a borderline of a Jewish community, an Italian community, with Irish nearby, always very close to Greeks and Armenians. So as you grow up in that atmosphere and you choose to do that kind of cultural work, it's just obvious that you get to know more and more people from those groups and try to talk out. I think it would be very good if more of the groups in the city, the key leaders of these different backgrounds, would get together more and talk about their joint problems rather than dealing totally with their own. Sometimes when you deal too much with your own, really when you deal with a further problem, you handle your own problem inadvertently.
I read, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you were trying to get financial assistance from the Italian government for Italian Americans?
You mean for the bicentennial?
Oh, is that for the bicentennial?
No, the bicentennial. Oh, I have a lot of projects working with, I have land in southern Italy. There's some projects I'm dealing with, an enormous amount of Italian Americans in this country are southern Italian. So I feel there's a responsibility to try to make that attachment with the culture that they come from, to better understand how they're functioning in this country or any other country around the world. Italians have always been world citizens. Columbus did work for Spain, Verrazzano for France, Cabot for England. So it's always been a natural kind of problem-solving energy of Italians all the time, too, and especially when Italy's only been a country for 120 years. What are those Italians? How are they Italians before a nation? So they've always had that openness with a lot of various cultures. One of their prime works during the Renaissance and ever since then was to pull the Occidental, the Oriental, the Arabic, the Hebraic, the Hellenic, that whole Mediterranean basin, which is very close to Camus' views on the Mediterranean man. And Italy has always been part of that structure. Its very geography and bloodline would indicate that.
You are the director of the executive director of the Italian American Bicentennial, and before we start discussing some of the events that are planned for the bicentennial, Mayor Rizzo is the honorary chairperson.
Chairman.
Yeah. How do you feel about that now that there's a movement to recall Rizzo afoot? How does it feel to you to have a person who is actively being sought for recall by many Philadelphia citizens being chairing the bicentennial?
Well, I think it's absolutely consistent when I said that if I can be an Italian in America, that we're looking for those energies. Mayor Rizzo feels strongly about being Italian, and so far as his participation in the bicentennial, I think it would be accurate to say that he's proud to be Italian, and he's proud, by the way, to have his administration support all the ethnic cultures. I don't think a lot of people in the city know that this city administration has granted funds in the midst of a monetary crisis, which is endemic in this country and around the world, that the administration of our city has seen fit to help over 30 separate ethnic groups. And Mayor Rizzo not only has a feeling for his own Italian background, but I think for the backgrounds and the perpetuation and protection of all the cultural heritages in the city. So I'm very happy to have his help, and I see his own private business, political business,
his political business his private business, or does it become that in terms of the bicentennial?
I don't see any, crisscross here of energies. I think I answered your question. You know, this is, I'm not a politician. I don't see it. I would say, no, there's no problem at all. We're happy to have his help. And I think the city should be happy that he's helped a lot of the different groups achieve a lot of their programs in this bicentennial.
Okay, what are some of the programs that are planned for the Italian-American bicentennial?
Well, we start May 9th with the people in Philadelphia should be proud for a lot of the great things we have here in the different cultures. As far as the Italian culture, we have the first Italian-American church in America, 7th and Montrose, St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi Church, and Cardinal Kroll will be a concelebrant at a special pontifical mass on May 9th, which is Mother's Day, and there'll be a procession, a Holy Eucharist procession, and we'll have that night at Philadelphia Music Academy, we'll have at the Schubert Theater, special composers of Italian background, Italian-Americans, which will have their work. Alfred Drake will be there to recite some things. And we go right through the month of May. There's another Super Sunday, the Italian Market. And we're also very close to bringing the famous Italian circus from Milano to Philadelphia. The Italian Market is sponsoring this, along with
do you know what date
the Italian
that will
Bicentennial.
Be?
Yes, May 21st to June 13th, the circus will be here. And the big art show at Memorial Hall, special art show, which John Facenda will be master of ceremonies during the opening. May 10th is the official opening of the thing. Munir Society, Mandolin Society, Drama, American Institute of Italian Culture with excerpts from La Boheme. So we go through the whole month of May with, and Thomas Pasatieri, who's had a tremendous amount of publicity in the Philadelphia papers and the New York Times recently, a tremendous article in the New York Times 2 weeks ago, will be flying in from Chicago especially for a premier local performance by the Rittenhouse Opera Society. Marco Farnese is director of that. He'll fly in especially for three one-act operas, repeated two nights, the 14th and the 17th of May. So The month of May is a very special month, and there are a lot of activities I think a lot of the people will be interested in. And if they have, the people listening have any need any information, to just pick up the phone and call us at the office. We'd be glad to send them our brochure and all the information.
Okay, you're welcome to give the phone number.
923-8485. That's 927 South 8th Street.
Okay, thank you very much. I've been speaking with John Aiello, who's the executive director of the Italian-American Bicentennial. Thank you. And we're going to hear now another excerpt from Steve Goodman's new recording.